بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا، أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون، إنهم إلا كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الحياء والإيمان قرنا جميعا، إذا رفع أحدهما رفع الآخر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء كرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, each and every insan, each and every human being has within his life a unique set of desires, goals and objectives that he wishes to fulfill and realize during his life in this world. And while these goals and objectives may vary and differ from person to person, we find that there is one common goal, one common desire, one common wish which is found in each and every person, and that is the desire to be successful. Every single human being, the businessman wishes to be successful in his business endeavors, the student wants to be successful in his studies, the professional wants to be successful in his line of work. And while each and every person desires to reach the heights of success, we find that the metrics by which success is determined, this also differs from person to person. For some, success is defined according to the number of zeros in his bank balance. For others, success is defined and determined in accordance to the material possessions that he possesses in this world. For others, yet, success is defined and determined in accordance to his standing in society, the name and honor that he has built for himself. And therefore we find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran draws our attention as people of Iman to what truly constitutes success. What is the greatest success? What should a person be striving towards? What should a person be working towards? In very clear and explicit terms, Allah Rabbul Izzah, زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. True success will only be determined on the day of Qiyamah. That person who is distanced from the fire of Jahannam and he is given admission and entry into Jannah, he has attained success. But Allah Rabbul Izzah does not just leave us there. Rather, Allah gives us a tool and a yardstick by which we are able to gauge our progress on the ladder to success. As a person passes through his life in this world, how do I know that I am on the pathway to be successful? This is something that will only be determined on the day of Qiyamah. But I need to track my progress. I need to understand how close or how far I may be. And therefore Allah gives us three layers, three tools, three yardsticks by which a person may gauge his progress. All encapsulated in one verse of Quran. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهُ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. If a person wants to understand and know his progress as he is searching for success, the ultimate success, then Allah says the very first thing that he needs to introspect and see, what is the level of his obedience to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. That person who will bring his life in line with the desire and the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will strive to make his day and night in accordance to the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. His business dealings, his social interactions, his character and conduct, he will try his utmost to bring this in line with what Quran and Sunnah have demanded. And then as a result of this, he moves to the next level. وَيَخْشَ اللَّهِ. He develops the fear of Allah. And not necessarily the fear of overwhelming punishment. But he fears to displease Allah. He doesn't want to make Allah angry with him. He doesn't want to upset Allah. He has understood the bounties and blessings that he is receiving from Allah. And when he makes an effort in this regard, now he moves to the final stage. وَيَتَّقْهِ He develops a very deep level of consciousness of Allah. Every step of his life he is aware, he is acutely aware of what the requirement is at this point of time in my life. For this decision, what does Allah want from me? At this stage in my life, what does Allah require from me? Allah says when a person will bring these three things into his life, the obedience of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will have a certain level of fear of Allah, and he will become acutely conscious and aware of what Allah wants from him. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ Allah says, those are the people who are on the road to success. Nay, they have already attained success. They have been given glad tidings of success in this world. For this, my dear brothers, Allah has given us our lives in this world, which ulama explain is known as mazra'atul akhirah. Our lives in this world is known as the cultivating land, the cultivating field for the hereafter. Just as the farmer, the person involved in agriculture, in zira'a, he understands ahead of the bumper season, I need to put in the hard yards. I need to make a concerted effort. I will have to spend hours toiling under the heat of the sun in order to ensure that my land is prepared, in order to ensure that the seeds have been planted, the irrigation takes place adequately. And only if I ensure this is done correctly, then when the season comes in, I will be able to yield a bumper crop. The profit margins will now be increased, and I will make it big this year. The businessman also understands that there will be those seasons or those months within the calendar wherein the number of customers that will be coming through the door will increase. The profit margins will be higher. There will be a chance to make it. But he too understands the need to prepare in advance. The shelves need to be stocked. The goods need to be on hand. And then only will I be able to take advantage of the bumper season. Likewise, Allah Rabbul Izzah has given us during the Islamic calendar certain seasons of the year where we are able to take advantage. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Muharram. At the same time, my respected brothers and elders, we will also pass through those periods of time during the calendar year where, contrary to it being a boom, we will go through a lull of sorts, a mini recession of sorts. Just like the businessman understands, those few months I will make it big. But there will be those few months in the calendar wherein business will take a knock. The intelligent businessman, he tightens his game. He amends his margins. He makes a concerted effort. He pulls up his sleeves to ensure that he minimizes his losses during this period. Just as he made an effort to maximize his profits in the high season, he makes an equally concerted effort to minimize his losses when business is bad. For us as believers, as reciters of Kalima La Ilaha Illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we too will go through these peaks and troughs in the calendar. And right now, my dear brothers, we are on the verge of that season which is the lowest of the low as far as our iman is concerned. What is known, widely known as the silly season. And we have mentioned before, why is it known as the silly season? Those individuals who displayed intelligence, spiritual intelligence, emotional intelligence, maturity as far as their dini decisions were concerned, throughout the year they made the right moves. Just like the businessman, he made the right investments. He made the right moves. He networked with the correct people. But a point in the year will come, the silly season, where the intelligent person now begins to make silly decisions. He now makes those moves that could cost him his business. And for us, he makes those moves and decisions, Allah protect, that could cost him his iman and his taqwa. The intelligent mu'min, the intelligent believer, he understands that I need to be on guard. I need to be wary of the challenges that await me. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. But before we move further, my dear brothers, the holiday season has dawned upon us. And many people from different walks of life, the student who is in school, the university student, the professional, many a businessman, will also enjoy a hard-earned break. He will take a well-deserved rest. Many may go on holiday as well. Before we move further, let us understand, my dear brothers, Allah Rabbul Izzah has blessed us with a very moderate deen, a very balanced way of life. Just as Allah demands from us servitude and obedience to Him, just as Allah wants us to be in the masjid bowing down before Him 5 times a day, Allah also understands and knows the requirement and need of insan to take a break, to have a rest, to enjoy some downtime, some light-hearted moments. Deen does not require us to give our 100% all the time, ourselves to the limit all the time. But rather Allah recognizes our human deficiency, our human restrictions. And perhaps this is best illustrated by the interaction between two very great companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyiduna Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, and his friend and companion Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam devised a very unique system in Madinah Munawwara. We find that when the hijrah took place from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinah Munawwara, there were a number of sahaba who had migrated with barely anything more than the clothes on their back. They were coming from Makkah Mukarrama. Most of them were traders by profession. They knew buying and selling. And they were now bringing their families, their wives, their children, their dependents to Madinah Munawwara, which was an economy that depended on farming. And these sahaba radiallahu anhum were coming without the technical know-how and skills of farming. In any other case, if it had to be analyzed, then it would have been seen as a catastrophic burden upon the economy. Individuals coming in who are barely able to contribute to society, and they will now require a means of continuing their lives. They will require food, drink, shelter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam devises an amazing system, which was known as mu'akhat, which we loosely translate as brotherhood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would select a muhajir sahabi, someone coming from Makkah Mukarrama, with barely anything to his name, and he would pair him up with an ansari sahabi, someone from Madinah Munawwara, who had resources at his disposal, who knew the lay of the land. And what this system did was it removed the pressure and the burden upon the economy. It allowed the Ansar to continue living their lives, and it equipped and enabled the Muhajireen to also thrive and flourish. One such pairing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes is between Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. He was a Persian of origin, and a very lengthy story with regard to how he found himself in Makkah Mukarrama, his subsequent conversion to Islam. Time doesn't allow us to go into that. But nevertheless, he migrates to Madinah Munawwara as a Muslim. He barely has any resources at his disposal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pairs him up with Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And this relationship is very much founded and based upon nasiha, well-wishing for one another. They wanted to see each other thrive and flourish in their deen. And there are a number of interactions between these two individuals. But one particular interaction, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu comes to visit Abu Darda. And he notices that the wife of Abu Darda, ra'aha mutabadhila, he sees her to be in a disheveled state. She does not portray the image of a young bride. So he, out of concern, poses the question, ma sha'nuk, that what is the matter? Is there perhaps something wrong in this marriage? In a very tactful way, she replies. She says, your friend Abu Darda, he has no inclination, no attachment with dunya. In other words, he has renounced the world to such an extent that he does not even give me time. He does not even want to be intimate with me. This was of course his level of dedication and devotion to Allah. But perhaps he had overstepped the bounds. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu sees an opportunity to gently guide his companion. So he enters the home. Abu Darda prepares a meal, puts it forward to him. And he says, "O Salman, partake of the meal. I won't be joining you. I am fasting today." Salman radiallahu anhu seizes the opportunity. He says, "Ma ana bi akulin hatta ta'kul. I will not take a morsel of this meal until you do not join me." Hearing this, Abu Darda gives in to the request of the guest. He breaks his fast. It was an optional fast. And he joins Salman radiallahu anhu in that meal. Then as the night dawns upon them, Abu Darda prepares to stand up in Qiyamul Layl, Nafil Salah at night. Salman instructs him, "Nam, Abu Darda, go and take a rest." He complies. He rests for a short while. Once again, Qama, he wakes up attempting to engage in Qiyamul Layl. Again, Salman says to him, "Nam, Abu Darda, remain in your bed." فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنْ آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ When there was now just a short while left before dawn, before the time for Fajr would set in, now Salman radiallahu anhu wakes up his companion. فَقَامَ فَصَلَّيَا They both now engage in Qiyamul Layl. They read their Tahajjud Salah. So they spend a short while doing this. And then Salman radiallahu anhu addresses him. He says, "Oh my friend, O Abu Darda, understand, وَعَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Allah definitely has rights over you. And you should try your utmost to fulfill these rights. But at the same time, لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Your own body has rights over you. لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Your wife has rights over you. Your family members have rights over you. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ Ensure that you fulfill the rights of each and every person. The incident is taken to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. O Nabi of Allah, this is what has transpired. What is his response? Sadaqa Salman. Salman has spoken the truth. Deen is balanced, deen is moderate. So Sharia definitely recognizes our need and requirement to take a break, to have a rest. But at the same time, respected brothers and elders, just as we find limitations and restrictions in every other aspect of our lives as believers, when it comes to our break and our rest, here too we find restrictions. As much as the businessman will take a holiday from his business, the student will take a break from his studies, the service provider will take a break from his work, understand this much, my dear brothers, there is no break or rest from being a Muslim. A person should ensure that first and foremost, his identity of Islam remains with him 24/7. Regardless of season, regardless of his commitments, regardless of where he may be in the world, he may have gone off to a foreign destination on holiday. Well and good, he is taking a break. He is fulfilling the needs of his family and children. But he should not lose sight of the fact that he is a believer first and foremost. The pious person is traveling by airplane. The air hostess comes to him and offers him alcohol. He refuses. Seeing he's a Muslim, she becomes upset. She wants to interfere with him. So she insists, "Why don't you take your share? This is provided free of charge." Allah inspires him to say the right thing. He says to her, "Listen, take my share of alcohol and give it to the pilot." She becomes enraged. What a foolish statement to make. How dare you suggest the pilot now has consumes alcohol? Don't you know he is on duty right now? The pious person responds, "I am on duty as a believer for the entirety of my life. I will never stop being on duty as a believer and a slave of Allah." If we can hold this dear to us, my dear brothers, especially during this silly season, the holiday period, that no matter where I may be in the world, my shop may be closed, my business may be closed, the university or school may have come to an end, But my life as a believer will continue. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, we find by and large, our mindset when it comes to the holiday season has become very much a hedonistic mindset. The unrestricted pursuit of pleasure. Every itch must be scratched. Every desire must be fulfilled. And a person just moves from one thing to the next, looking for contentment, looking for happiness, looking to satisfy the craving and the urge within him. Understand, my dear brothers, Allah Rabbul Izzah has not created dunya for this purpose. Enjoy your break, take a well-earned rest, no problem whatsoever. But the moment we will make the pursuit of pleasure the primary goal in our lives, then we are in for a major disappointment. The bounties of this world are nothing but window shopping for the hereafter. Allah has kept true happiness in the bounties of the akhirah. And no matter how much a person will try, no matter to what heights and lengths he may go, to entertain himself, to fulfill these desires of his, he will reach a block. He will come to a point where he is unhappy, he is unfulfilled, he is unsatisfied. And this is the nature of dunya. The bounties of this world will never be able to satiate a person. So therefore, during the holiday period, my dear brothers, understand that I am here to take a break, to have a rest. But it should not be that my primary objective is the pursuit of pleasure. Rather, ulama have explained that if we make just a few tweaks or changes to our mindset, then we can make our holidays work for us. The businessman is on holiday, but he is trying to set up his business. While he may be in some foreign land, but he never stops his job. He carries some samples with him. He continues to try networking with people in that area. He makes a phone call or two. He'll still check on his emails at night. I may be on holiday, but at the same time, this can be an opportunity for my business. In the very same way, my dear brothers, many of us in the December period will have excess free time on our hands. We can make our holidays work for us. We can make our holidays take us closer to Allah. How? Ulama explain. On a small change in the intention. We are taking our families out well and good. Of course, the suggestion would be enjoy our holidays within the confines of our home, where we are comfortable, we have our creature comforts with us. But those who may be going out, just a change in intention. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man aada maridan, aw zara akhan lahu fillah. That person who will set off on a journey to visit somebody who is unwell, or to visit someone purely for the sake of Allah. Then the address comes to him from the side of the angels. طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَاكَ وَتَبَوَأْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا. What an excellent deed you have done. How excellent your footsteps are. You have prepared your abode in the gardens of Jannah. Just a tweak in the intention, my dear brothers. This may not be the ideal. The ideal is that we do undertake these journeys for these purposes. To visit those who are unwell. To visit people for the sake of Allah. Visit the ulama-i kiram, pious people. But at least make this intention, I am going to a certain destination. There may be ulama-i kiram based in that area. There may be some pious people living nearby. Take a gift or two, a bottle of honey, a bottle of itar, and make the intention that I will meet this person for the sake of Allah. It will take half an hour out of my 2 week holiday. But Allah is Kareem, Allah is generous. We have hope Allah will give us the reward. This journey now will work for us. It will take us closer to Allah. Together with that, my dear brothers, a person leaves home. Something that we need to be extra cautious about during this period. Especially when we have our young children at home. Like how the mothers will now say, on a light-hearted note, that for the next month or two, Mummy, I want food is now at home. That is the nickname of the child. Our children will be at home. Unfortunately, many of us as parents, the quick fix is to put a screen in front of the child. But there is one aspect that we need to be extra cautious about. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْإِيمَانِ قُرِينَا جَمِيعًا. The characteristic, the trait, the attribute of bashfulness and modesty and iman have been inextricably linked to one another. To illustrate this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا. If one of these characteristics is taken away from a person, then the other will follow suit. In other words, if a person will lose his inner sense of modesty, then very soon his iman will follow suit, he will lose his iman. A jamaat had come from Palestine and they mentioned an incident highlighting the link between haya and iman. The jamaat was working in South America. And while they were based in a certain area, a non-Muslim woman had come to the masjid, very scantily clad, barely covering her body with the clothes that she was wearing. And she came to ask about Islam. She had seen the brothers dressed in Islamic garb. She was curious about Islam. They explained it to her. And Allah's decision was such that she recited the Shahada, she accepted Islam. The person narrating the incident says, no sooner had she uttered the words of the kalima, immediately she became conscious of her dress code. She began taking her hands and covering her body, those parts that had been exposed, as though she could not pass a moment without being modestly covered. And then he explains, this is the link between modesty and iman. When iman is within the heart, by nature modesty will be within a person. During the holiday period, my dear brothers, do not expose our children to avenues of immodesty. This is an appeal, my dear brothers. The moment a child is exposed, it may be just for a short while. To us, it is a harmless trip to the beach, a harmless trip to buy some ice cream. But the gaze of my child falls on something that he is not supposed to see. He is not supposed to be exposed to. And an entire world of sin opens up in his mind. The impression that will leave on the mind of the child will never be erased. He will strive and work his entire life, but he will not be able to rid himself of the ill effects of immodesty. On one hand, the avenues that we expose our children to, the places that we take them to, let us ensure, my dear brothers, we have been given the responsibility as parents, as fathers first and foremost. We are the shepherds of our flock. We are responsible to ensure that our children are taken care of. Let us make a concerted effort that during this holiday period, and not only now for the rest of our lives, that we do not expose our children to immodest avenues, to avenues of sin and disobedience. To summarize, my dear brothers, time has already expired. As we mentioned in the beginning, the deen of Islam is a moderate and balanced way of life. Allah recognizes our need to take a break, to have a rest. But at the same time, we do not take a break. We do not have a rest from being believers, from being ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.